Let's continue. Let's be mamshich. We were talking about the different midas, specifically the midas of Netzach and Haid. And the midas of Netzach and Haid, like all the other midas, are parallels to the body parts. Netzach and Haid are the legs. Netzach's the right leg, Haid is the left leg. And the midah of Haid is when it's Taiv L'Rishay. Rasha v'tayvle. When it's tayv l'rishayim, when it's good for them, and everything is going for them, they have like a smooth path. So it looks like chesed. It looks like a Kaddish Baruch Hu is granting them chesed. He's treating them with chesed. So it looks like the midah is a chesed. Hashem is having chesed. He's doling out oodles and oodles of chesed to Rishayim. But in reality, he's just giving them reward for any possible small deed that they did in this world, that they deserve some kind of schar. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the kale of Mishpat, of justice, and no good deed goes unrewarded. And no matter how wicked a person is, there's always going to be something that he did that has some merit to it. So Hashem gives it to him. And he gives it to him in the form of Tov in this world. And it has to be like that. Look, just yesterday, Mayav Rabbi Ramesha was talking about Rabban Biad Ma'atim. That's a miracle. That the few defeated the many. Gibarim biyad chalashim. That's a miracle. That the weak could overcome the strong. Tameim bahad biyad tahirim. The pure ones overcame the impure. What's the miracle in that? That's a fact. That's a fact. That the Yidden were pure, the Yevarim were impure, and the pure defeated the impure. It's a fact, that's not a miracle. Zaydim biyad Aishkei Torah Secha. That the wicked fell by the hands of the one Aishkei Torah. That's history. That's the story. It doesn't match with the other parts of Al-Nisim. The other parts of Al-Nisim is that we be Meshabeach, LaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem reversed nature. Hashem, we transcended nature. The weak don't usually win. So Ramesha said that it's not true. It is not true. He said because Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov le'yechta. No matter how big a tzaddik a person is, there's always going to be something he's going to do wrong. Always. It's unavoidable. It's inescapable. And the same is true for a wicked person. No matter how much he messes up his life, there's always something he's going to do right. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu, he rewards a person where that person is. For a tzaddik, what's reward for him? Fame, fortune, wealth, covet. That's not Olam Haba for a tzaddik. He doesn't want that. They run away from that their whole life. Something temporary, that's cheap. It cheapens things. He wants nitzchias. He wants to be in a Kaddish Baruch Hu circle. He wants to be a circle around the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And point towards the middle of the circle and say, Zeh Hashem kivinu lai, nagilu v'nismucha b'shuvasai. He wants all the fakes he had his entire life to just open up, and he'll see they never had a question in the first place. All the kashas he had on the huggers, and all the darkness that he had, all of a sudden just mind will just open up and continue to expand forever. Russia, what's his alam haba? You tell Russia, your Alam Haba is going to be there forever with a bunch of Rabbanim. That's Gehenna for him. We'll be with a bunch of Rabbanim. Forever! They're going to learn Baba Kama. You're going to learn about a tarnival that sticks his head inside of a glass bottle and crows and cracks the bottle. Or a chicken that jumps up and down stones shootout, or has a rope attached to its leg and breaks a bucket. That's what you're going to learn about. With sugar. And then what we're going to do is that then you're going to do more. You're going to... poor Russia. Rachmanis on the Russia. Poor Russia. So Hashem is the Kale of Mishpat. That means the Russia, he has to get rewarded. What does he get? He gets rewarded where he is. So he has to have a good life in this world. That's his world. That's where he is. He has to have a good life in this world. Because no matter how big of a rush he is, he had to do something. He did something, he gets reward. He gets reward over here because that's where he is. So Rishayim have to have a tzlach in this world. And Tzaddikim, they don't want to lose any of their schar. They don't want to get any reward in this world. Because any reward in this world takes away from where they really are. They're not in this world. They're here temporarily. They want to go on. They want to go on forever in the next world. Everything in this world, whatever you get, no matter how great it is, it doesn't last. Even if you think it's going to last forever, it doesn't last. I had a Mitsubishi Champ. I bought it 20 years ago. It lasted for 20 years. I thought it was going to last forever. I never had to put money in it. Awesome, most awesome car in the world. After 20 years, the engine just died. It's gestorben. I never had to fix it. It was perfect until it died. Gestorben. In the middle of the road, gestorben. I had to go downhill to get home. You know, it was like shaking like an earthquake. You know, we felt like we were in an earthquake. And when I had to get up the hill, we turned the car on. And then when it got to the top, I turned it off. We coasted down. It was 1 o'clock in the morning on the way back from Kiyotefe. I made it home. Well, I said, are you going to pull over to the side? I said, do you want to take your entire family on the side of the road at 1 o'clock in the morning? I said, we're going to make it home. We made it. Everything in this world dies. It drops. Tzaddikim, they don't want that. They're not in that world. They're in the world of eternity. So Hashem gives them, but they do things wrong. And they have to get punished. So Hashem gives them the punishment here because Hashem gives them the reward where they are. The reward is Nal Haba. So Tzaddikim have to have a bad in this world. It's not just a possibility, you know. Some Tzaddikim, they happen to have it bad, and some Rishayim, they happen to have it good. It's got to be that way. Because Rishayim do good things, and Tzaddikim do bad things. It happens. It's got to be that way. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the victory to the Chashmonaim over the Yevanim, the Chashmonaim, they were Tahirim, they were Kedashim, they were Ish Ketar Asacha, and they won. The good guys don't win in this world.
Doesn't it concern you then when a tzaddik has it pretty good?
Tzaddikim are concerned when they have it pretty good. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, Al Tira Avram, Tzchoka Harbim Ait. Avram was afraid. He lost everything. He got saved from the kings. Hashem made a miracle. When he was Menatzeach, he overcame the four kings. The four kings that beat the five kings. And he thought he lost everything. Hashem says, no, nothing magan lacha. Al tira Avram. That didn't come off of your cheshbon. Ki yadua, that there's two sources. There's two reasons why a tzaddik will have a good in this world. One is because he's getting rewarded for his maasim tayfim, and they're very afraid of that. And the other is to enable him to function, to do maasim tayfim, to do Torah mitzvahs, and not every tzaddik is echad to that. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avram, Anochi Mogen Lecha, Tzchoka Harbe Moed, that you had a good in this world because you have a job in this world, and that was stopping you, and that was staring you. So we had to take the four kings out. You had to take them out. But it wasn't a reward for your Maisim Tovim. It's because Hashem was clearing the path for Abraham to spread what he's got to do in this world. So it didn't take away from your, didn't take away from your sky. So it is a nace. Rabban Bad Matam is a nace. Zedim Yad Eskator Sech is also a nace. It's a bigger nace. Zedim Yad Eskator Sech is a bigger nace. And that's the Midah of Hayd. The Midah of Hayd is when it's good for the Rishayim that the Matzliach, not just despite the fact that they're Rishayim, they're Matzliach because they're Rishayim. A Rasha is a Matzliach because he's a Rasha. You know, it's easy to say. I'm just saying, it's easy to say the words. It's very easy to say the words. It's very difficult to live through. They were sitting here at a table. Baruch Hashem, we have pretty good lives. And should continue. It's much more, the Nisayan Naira, someone lives through this tkufa. Of Rasha V'Tayvla and Tzadok V'Rale. Tzadok V'Rale has been a constant, it's been Tzadok V'Rale from day one, Maisa Bracious. The first day was Tzadok V'Rale, Adam Rishon was punished, Kafa was punished, Tzadok V'Rale. And from day one, it's been Tzadok V'Rale, and Klai Yisrael has always withstood Tzadok V'Rale. There were Yidden, that they weren't Shemit Torah Mitzvahs, but to go over to the other side, to give up the identity of Yidden, Tzadok V'Rale was never had the potency, the force, to cause someone to give up his identity as Yid. I mean, not every Yid was a Tzaddik. Not every Yid made the right choices. But Tzaddik V'Rale was never strong enough. Yidin are used to Tzaras. There's a mice of a small derfel that a Magid came to visit. The Magidim, preachers, they used to go around from shtetl to shtetl, and everyone would gather in the shul, and the Magid, the Magidim at the time, they were talented in giving over a message. They were talented with Mishalim and Midrashim and stories. And they would awaken the whole town. And the Magid came to town, they'd all come and they'd give a service to the entire town. The town might not have had a rub, they might not have had a yeshiva. And the Magid would come. And the stories told about a certain Darfur letter. The Magid came and he painted a picture of them, what's going to be in the time of Mashiach. Everyone's going to come, we're going to sell all our possessions, we're going to get in our wagons, we're going to travel. And he described it to them, how everyone's going to be dancing and singing, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to leave everything behind, we're going to leave the gullahs behind, we're going to leave the goyim behind, we're going to leave all the oppression behind, we're going to be flying. And the guy came home from shul, and he's all worried, his mom is so worried. And this tired Rebbetzin says, "What are you worried about? What is this? You have this darkness upon you. What happened to you in the show?" She said, "Don't you understand? The Maggid said the Mashiach's going to come." She says, "No, as was." He said, "Don't you understand? We're going to have to leave everything. We're going to have to leave our cows, and we have to leave our horses, and we have to leave our chickens and our begonias." He was attached particularly to his begonias. And we have to leave everything behind. We have to go to Israel. What's going to be with our chickens? What's going to be with our horses? What's going to be with the poor begonias? And she says, "Oh, my husband, don't worry. Yidden have been durch gelernt, as they feel tsaros. Yidden lived through so much tsaros. We'll live through the Tzar of Mashiach also. You're not used to Tzaras. We expect Tzaras. And that's the Midah of Din. Midah of Din is in the sign that Klal Yisrael was always able to be armed in the sign of Din. But the Midah of Haid is something else entirely. The Midah of Haid is Rasha v'Tayvlai. At the same time when Tzadikim are going through what Tzadikim always go through. Rasha v'Tayvlai is that they're Matzliach because they're Rishayim. The biggest Rishayim are Matzliach. Yavan was unprecedented in the wickedness. How could you be more wicked than the Dairis before Yavan? Yavan was unprecedented. They had new levels of wickedness because Yavan believed that everything in this world is all you need for Shleimus. No one ever had the chutzpah to say that. The Avda Avedazar, number one, the Avda Avedazar believed in a higher power. Number two, they believe that God is stronger than the higher power. The early Avodah Zarah, they worshipped Avodah Zarah, mistakenly thinking that they're giving cover to God by worshipping Avodah Zarah. God created Mashiach. What?
They even made a mistake.
Well, it started out with a small mistake, and a small mistake, when you feed it enough, it turns into a big mistake. You look around, you see that God created all kinds of powers in this world, like the power of the sun, the power of the moon, the power of the stars. And these things are filled with life. There's a spiritual life within all these things. Without a spiritual life, the sun is a dead star. There's chiyus in it. There's an ongoing life in the heavenly bodies. So they're malachim. They're spiritual forces that God created to make sure that the sun shines. And the king, you know, they're like ministers to the king. So when you have a minister to the king, you show respect to the minister as well. By showing respect to the minister, you show respect to the king. So they worshipped.
Did they give him honor in front of the king?
Well, that's the problem. You're not supposed to do that. But they, you know, so this, if you would have been there, I don't know if you would have said that.
And here, when the king's not around, of course you have to give him a lot of honor.
And the king is always around. That's the thing. With the God, he's always around. So that's probably what they believed. That doesn't count. Because the king's always around. The king's always around. So he's never away. The Rambam says the earlier Avodah Zarah did it L'Shem Shemayim. And it progressed. And then they said, listen, the sun is all the way up there, so to show proper respect to the sun, the sun's not always with us, it's all the way up there, so let's make an image of the sun down here, so then we worship we show respect to the sun, we'll show it by respecting the image of the sun. And then they started ascribing powers to the images, and then they totally forgot about God. But Nebuchadnezzar called God Elohad Elohaya. Nebuchadnezzar called God the God of Gods, so he believed in God. He just doesn't worship him. He believed in God. So the Tumah of Avodah Zarah is very strong, but it doesn't come to the Tumah of the Yavanim. The Tumah of the Yavanim is God is irrelevant. He is there, he's not there, it doesn't matter. Because everything we need is here. And the great philosopher of the Yavanim, Aristotle, said if something is beyond his comprehension, then it's irrelevant. If he could understand it, it's relevant. If he can't understand it, it's irrelevant. It doesn't exist. That's the Tumah of Yavan. The Tumah of Yavan is there is no need for a connection to anything higher. And everything we need is here. And if it's beyond us, it doesn't matter. Who knows? Does it exist? Does it not exist? It doesn't matter. Total separation of Shemayim and Arts. There never was such a Tumah. And the Yavanim were the ones that had more Hatzlacha than anyone ever had. They had philosophy. They had culture. They had music. They had peace. They had harmony. Beauty. It was so beautiful. So cultured. So elevated. And the world of the picture, the tmuna of the world is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mighty to the Yevanim. And Hashem said to the Yevanim, it was a good fight. You won. I give up. I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else. Maybe Hashem will go somewhere else. This is the world. Hashem left the world. And who runs the world now? The Yevanim. Because everything they do succeeds. Tehmat Slich and everything. He conquered the entire world. And we're still under the Yevanim. Our world is the world of Greek philosophy. That's Midas Ha'id. Midas Ha'id, the word Ha'id means Maida. God is Maida. God admits defeat. This is the place where the Malach struck Yaakov Avinu. The Yaakov Avinu is Shalem, and the Malach struck Yaakov Avinu over there, in the left leg. Because that's where Yaakov's weakness is. That he can make a Klai, he himself is perfect. And he made a Klai Yisrael that's perfect. But when the Klai Yisrael that Yaakov makes goes through its Kufa, where it's Tzadik V'Ra'la and Rasha V'Tayla at the same time, when the greatest of Rishayim is having the greatest of Atzlachas, the Yevanim was the one time, the one period in the history of the world, that the greatest of Rishayim were having maximum Atzlacha. At the same time when the Tzadikim were having the maximum e-Hatzlacha, anti-Hatzlacha. They were having it lousy. They were having a bad time. That was a critical point. It was like the most difficult period in the world. They're having it so great. They're having it so, you know. There's no greater haidah than when someone who's at the other extreme of you is matzliach. Any other nation is not the polar extreme of God. It's just any other nation is not the polar extreme of God. They have something. They have a little bit of shred of decency. They have a little shred of. Yavan is the nation that God's on one side, they're on the other side. It's like, and the period of Hanukkah was the period, never was like that. Maximum Atzlacha to the maximum opponent, to maximum Sitra Achra. And the biggest sign is that the way the world was being run, it looks like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is guiding us to follow in the ways of the Yevanim. It looks, Haidah means more than you win. Haidah is, anyone that read the world at the time saw that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is guiding people to be Yevanim. And God wants people to be Yevanim. Because whatever the Mahalach was until then, it's a new Mahalach now. And if Yevanim get Hatzlacha in this world, and someone that's not a Yevani does not have Hatzlacha in this world. And there's no exceptions. It's not even like there's any exceptions. It's the Ratzon Hashem to give up everything and become Yevanim. It's God's will to embrace the Greek philosophy and Greek culture and Greek values and Greek beliefs. And God wants that. How do you, you know, if that's the way things look, how do you fight? How do you fight your perception of God? How do you fight? You have a perception that God wants you to do this. How do you fight your perception of God? Where do you get the strength to go against what you think God wants? You know what I'm saying? It's so, you know, the way you understand God, He wants you to be that. So how do you fight that? And that's where all the hatzlacha is. And God gives them the hatzlacha. So if God gives them the hatzlacha, that means He wants you to be like that. That's the makkah of the malach, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he was perfect, and he wasn't perfect. He was perfect in the time of Tzadik Virali. He was perfect. That means his emuna was perfect. And no torture could tear him away from his emuna. No torture in the world. No yisurin. But to create a Klal Yisrael that they could be neman, even when they see that God wants them not to be neman to Him, that Yaakov Avinu didn't have. That's the wound. That was the vulnerable point that Yaakov Avinu, when the Malach was able to inflict him. And Yaakov Avinu was lame. He hit him in the leg. And what's the leg? The leg is Midas HaNetzach. We said that these Midas are walking Midas. Because these Midas enable us to do our Avoda in places that we never dreamed that we could. To do your Avoda in a place where good people get rewarded and bad people get punished, you get credit for it. To do your Avoda where good people get punished and bad people get rewarded, that's traveling to a totally different place and doing Avoda. So these Midas are legs, because these Midas are what put us in a different playing field. We travel to a different playing field, and the rules change, and the scenario changes, and we're in a different location, and we have to use our Bechir in a place we never knew existed. That's the legs.
What does that have to do with Torah?
What does that have to do with?
Torah Shabbat.
George's asking, what's the kesher between the Mida of Haid, which is the Nisayan at the time of the Chashmonaim, and the fact that the Torah of the time of the Chashmonaim was Torah Shebal Peh, because there was no more Nevuah then, there was no more Nisim then, there was a very strong lack of clarity then. And there was a period of Torah Shabbat Peh that things weren't clear, they weren't written down. You know, the Torah then wasn't just like a Pasuk or Chumash which you read and then you understood as Pasuk Pshat. That was the time of the, you know, it was right before the Tanaim. I mean, the kings of the Chashmonaim lived at the times of the Tanaim. Shimon ben Shetach, Bishur ben Prachya. They lived at the times of the kings of the Chashmonaim. And the kings of the Chashmonaim were right after Hanukkah. So right after Hanukkah was like an explosion of Torah Shabbat Peh. So Jordan's asking what the connection is between them. the connection between learning Teresh Bapah and Mid of Height is the awareness the Tzadik Virale and Rosh Tavitavle is darkness. Because bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. That's darkness. Darkness is a good thing. If you could... Darkness is a good thing. Tzadik Viral in Rosh Hashanah looks like darkness because bad things happen to tzaddikim. But that's only on the surface. When you look deeper, you see that the darkness is really light. Because the tzaddik's getting all the punishment in this world. So that's light. And the Rosh is getting all his reward in this world. And that's light. The Chashmonaim when they saw Yavan, they saw the Hatzlach of Yavan, they didn't look at that as darkness. The Hatzlach of the success of Yavan over the whole world was light to them. Because when you see the Rishayim have Hatzlacha, such Hatzlacha, you know, the same thing that was in the Nisayim to everyone else but the Yavanim. There were two types of people in the world at the time. The Chashmonaim and everybody else. Everyone else saw the Yavanim Hatzlacha. And that's darkness. How could it be that someone that's taking the world away from a Kaddish Baruch Hu has such Hatzlacha? It must be that Hashem wants them to take the world away from him. And that's the conclusion. And the Chashmonaim saw light. They said, oh, the Yavanim are finished. So what's darkness? Everyone else was light to them. They're finished. It's over. Because they saw every single bit of Hatzlacha the Yavanim have was another thing that Kadosh Baruch was giving them before the final fall. It's, you know, every bit of success, every mohammah, every bit of wealth, every attraction that they had, that's part of the destruction. Every single, they saw Churban of Yavan, where other people saw the invulnerability, the power of Yavan. So they saw that the Chayshiks are. That's what Teresh Bapeh is doing. Teresh Bapeh is, it's not clear. It's not the written word. Teresh Bapeh, by definition, is Shakal V'tai. Did you ever see a Gemara without a question? First, did you ever see a pasuk that has a question and an answer and a raya? No, there's very few pasukim like that. There's some Kal V'chaimers. The pasukim just says it. Lo yisaychlu chametz. Don't eat chametz. Kavod es avicha v'etzimecha. There's no questions. It's there. Just do it. Or don't do it. Go fight it. And there's not a single daf gemara that doesn't have a kasha. Or a machlaikas. And a kasha with a machlaikas. And a kasha and a machlaikas. And a machlaikas about the kasha. There isn't a... There's so much darkness. Nobody knows anything. Doesn't anybody know anything? The Gemara is called B'machshak in Meshivani. The Gemara is called Chayshak. And it was this time, you know. You're all at the point which you've all experienced the timing of Lima Torah, but do you remember maybe a time when you believe that you can't do it because this is just impossible?
It's morning. Between Siddharth.
What?
Between Siddharth morning.
Between the first Seder and second Seder, as you read it, said, you remember that? Wow, that's good. You read us on divers between first Seder and second Seder. Yeah, man, this is ridiculous. I don't care. This is like, I can't figure anything out. I don't understand anything. It's so complicated. All these questions are complicated things. I just want to read it, translate the words, and go on. Why do you have this Tysus? I can't do Tysus. He makes things so complicated. He mixes me up. I thought I had pshat until Tysus came along. And then Tysus comes and mixes me up, and he asks questions. I didn't have the question. I didn't have the problem. It's chayshech. It's like death. It's like, remember, she could die from the questions, from the doctors. It's so hard. But it's light. The light is there. The darkness is the light. You can't get to the emes without a struggle. It's the emes is hidden. It's hidden under, you know, you have a treasure. You have to go through 6 levels of the video game, or 53 levels of the game to get it. You have to unlock it, and you have to have a fairy give you a hint. If you're able to jump across and drink a potion and touch the brick that's sticking out and fight the dragon. Don't fight the dragon. It's hard to get to the treasure. Or you have to dig and you find a pirate's map and X marks the spot, and you gotta dig and you gotta fight things off. And it's under there, and it just, you know, what people do nowadays are very treasured. Torah Shabbat Peh is impossible to be kind of Torah Shabbat Peh, to get to the Emes of Torah Shabbat Peh without killing yourself. If you learn a Gemara and you understand it the first time you learned it, that is the biggest sin when you don't understand it. Torah Shabbat Peh is in the Chayshech. It's in the darkness. So Torah Shabbat Peh is very similar to Rosh HaVitayvlai. Because Rosh HaVitayvlai, everyone sees that as darkness. But the Chashmonaim saw it as light. And Torah Shabbat Peh, there are those that see it as darkness. But someone with an eye to see things sees there's light. Mitch, I'm going to talk right to about this. But there's Kadosh Baruch Hu, we started out with how Kadosh Baruch Hu changed the Teva. The Teva is Eiske Tarasecha Biyad Zedim. The Teva is Tahirim Biyad Temeim. The Teva is Tzadikim Biyad Rishayim. That's the Teva. Rishayim win. Tzadikim lose. That's Derech HaTeva. Tahirim lose. So you want to lose all the time, be a Tahir. You're going to lose. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu made an ace. And the Tahirim won because they were Tahirim. And the Tzadikim won because the Tzadikim. And the Eiskei Tarasechi, you know why they won? In war, in combat. They won in combat because they learned Torah. That's not natural. That's going against nature. The Rishayim, this is their world. It's like winning in it's the home team. Everyone knows that the home team has an advantage. It's the home team. It's Keneged HaTeva. It's a nace that a Rasha should lose to a Tzaddik in a physical combat. It's a nace that a Tahir should Tahirim lose. Because you're Tahir. And here, they won because they were Tahir. And Hashem lost. Why? Hashem did it. Do you know why Hashem did it? Because there were Yechidim. There was a Mishpacha. And the Yechidim in Klal Yisrael, that their sight transcended nature. They saw light where everyone saw darkness. That means they were looking at the world with eyes of another world. To them, the darkness of Torah Shabbat Peh was light. Ah, so gishmak. This sugi is so hard, but I'm breaking my head. That's so gishmak. I love when I get a, my, every part of my body aches when I try and learn to sing it. I can't get out of it. I'm got a terrible headache. I can't take it anymore. Oh, I love that song, Schmack. And they see the Yavanim spreading over the entire world. And they say, you guys are going down. They see them spread. Everything. Never lose. They didn't lose a single Bochama. Alexander the Great. He didn't lose anything. He died before he was 40 years old. He conquered the whole world when he was 30 years old. It sort of makes me feel inadequate. I'm 53 already. What did I do? He conquered the world. 20 years old. Younger than me. How many countries did I conquer? I didn't conquer a single country. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Matzlocha. Hashem gave Matzlocha. He conquered the whole world. Hashem conquered the whole world. You lost. Well, he said, what are you laughing? I conquered the whole world. You lost. I won the whole world. Yeah, you lost. That doesn't make sense. I won. No, you lost. So they were Lamalam and Ateva. They were Lamalam and Ateva. So for people, the Lamalam and Ateva, Kadosh Baruch Hu reverses the Teva. So they brought it on themselves. The demand we had to hire him was because they saw that Tameim lose and Tahirim win. And even though the Tameim are winning, they're not winning, they're losing. They saw in Hatzlacha and Rishayim that they're losing. So they saw things the way they really are. To them, you know, this is something which we need to work on this. To them, the possibility of a Russia winning ever at anything was a theoretical impossibility. Rishayim can't win. It looks like they're winning. No, they're losing. because Rishayim can't win. You know why? Because something that goes against the Kadosh Baruch Hu can't win. They're being Matzliach. They're losing. They conquered the whole world. They're losing. Because Rishayim are a bunch of losers. And so to them, Russia can't win. So Hashem actualized. He gave form to their beliefs. It's my machine. It's a Midas Ahayid. It looks like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is being made to them by giving them everything they ever dreamed of. Correct? So it looks like Kadosh Baruch Hu is being made to the Yavanim. But every bit of Hatzlacha is given to the Yavanim, they're really being made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every success, every Nitzachon, every Taiva, any good thing that came to them, each and every one of those things was causing them to slowly disappear. So Midas HaHayit has a flip side to it. That Al Pishetach, Al Pnei HaShetach, it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being made to them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Haidah to them is really their Haidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them is making them slowly disappear. So Midas HaHayit is really their made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is destroying them by being made to them. Okay? Got it?
Uh-huh. We don't ever-